Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Literally the definition of thrive, if you look it up. And so Jesus, you could say, is saying, do you want to thrive? And I believe that is the question that Jesus is asking us right now. Do you want to thrive? It seems like a stupid question. I don't mean that Jesus said a stupid question, to clarify, but it seems like a silly question because he's been sick for 38 years. But after 38 years, being sick can feel well because it's our new normal. And some of us are operating in our homes in dysfunctional patterns, and it feels so normal that it actually feels scarier to be healthy and whole than to be sick. Am I just preaching to myself this morning? When you're in a dysfunctional pattern, it feels scarier and unsafe to try being healthy than to be sick. And so today Jesus is asking each one of us, do you want to thrive? Do you want to thrive? And he doesn't just say, good luck, go thrive. He brings wholeness to our hearts. That's how he helps us to thrive. We're used to returning to the gens of our past instead of crying out, Abba, Father. We're used to saying what the man said. He said, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else always goes down ahead of me. We're used to saying, no one taught me how to break free from the past issues of my home. My dad wasn't an example. My mom wasn't. I was all alone. But God is asking, will you give me your agains and receive my thriving life into your home? Has Jesus ever come to you and said, do you want to be well? And you say, well, I never had an instruction manual on how to do that. In fact, I blame so-and-so from my childhood or from college or wherever it is. No one ever was an example, so I guess this is just who I am. Instead of saying, Jesus, I give you my agains. I give you my 38 years of agains. Make me whole. Are you following this morning? This is so important because there's this saying in counseling where it says, I'm not going to work on the problem harder than you are. And thank God Jesus doesn't do that. He died. He worked a little bit harder than any of us, all right? But we can preach about having a thriving home. We can have small groups on it. We can give Bible studies out and do all of it. But unless each of us comes to a point in our heart where we say, I want a thriving home. And remember, that word thrive means to grow and develop. It doesn't mean perfection or anything like that. It means I want to grow. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to just be stuck in the agains that I saw generationally or I've picked up in the culture around me. I want to thrive. And so today, that's what we're talking about. The island of Sommerøy in northern Norway. Has anyone else been to Norway? All right. Man, I'm sorry. If I wasn't here, I'd either be in Israel or Norway. Those are the two hot places I'd be. I will never forget, I got to go to Norway for 2 days because my sister and brother-in-law are Danish. They live in Denmark. So, of course, you can just, like, literally for $50 go to Norway. That's what I did for $50 about. And I ate, like, bread and water because I was like, if I can get there, that's all that matters. And I got to hike up the fjord. I got to go to the fjord and hike up this mountain and drink water out of a glacier. It was cool. Every time I drink water, I think I just picture myself getting down to that stream, and then I thank God I didn't die. Let's just be honest. I don't think I'd do it again. I'm just going to put that out there. And on the way back down, our Airbnb host, he was the sweetest guy, and he's like, wow, I'm just glad it's all frozen over because, you know, you're standing on a river. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm also glad I didn't fall through, right? We're just going to praise you. I don't know if I'll hike that again. But I will never forget it because at the top of this mountain, the world stops spinning. And we need places like that in our life. I can't get back to Norway now. I don't know if I'll ever will. But I can never forget just standing there and seeing, as far as I could see, just glaciers and water all the way around, 360, absolutely no people other than a couple people with me. And the world stopped spinning. Do you know that that is the gift the presence of God can give us? That's why we worship. That's one of the reasons why. Not the only reason, of course. But that's not what I was going to talk about. So in Sommerøy in northern Norway, it is known as a time-free zone. They get 69 straight days of 24 hours sunlight in the summer and long periods of darkness in the winter to match. Without the sun scheduled to regulate time, they have decided to move away from fixed schedules, even in businesses and schools. In other words, if you are a type A individual, you do not live here. I'm just going to put that out there. All right. It's making me sweat. I'm like, residents and visitors alike hang their watches on a bridge connecting to the island to represent laying down the busyness of life and the tightness of schedules. Isn't that cool? And so this morning, with just the few minutes I have left here, I want to invite us to lay down some watches at the foot of the cross. All right? Does that sound good? So the first watch we're going to lay down, I wish I had a watch. Who has a watch this morning? All right. We got some real good watch people. I was going to say watchmen, but anyway. The watch of busyness. God has given each of us the gift of time. I saw this quote online this week. Jim Elliot said, "I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus." He was an American Christian missionary who died evangelizing in Ecuador. Regardless of any political beliefs this week, we lost someone who had a strong faith in Jesus. And it was a reminder to me of this quote, "I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus." I don't know if anyone else got just, yeah. It doesn't often come home, right? Yeah. And in this church, we preach Jesus, but when someone dies saying the name of Jesus, we want to recognize that. So I just want to put that out there. John Mark Comer notes in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, there is a new epidemic of the modern world, hurry sickness. I said that weirdly. Hurry sickness. A few symptoms include restlessness, workaholism, emotional numbness, escapist behaviors, and lack of spiritual disciplines. Sounds like the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of our culture today. What was it called again? It was called hurry sickness. Has anyone been stuck in hurry sickness and not lived like the missionary said, "I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus"? Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." That word "and know" is actually "to know." Can everyone just say "to know"? To know. And that word "know" is the intimate kind of knowing. It says when Mary didn't know Joseph. I'll put it that way. And it means to understand, to perceive, to acknowledge. And it's an experiential kind of knowing. That word "still" means to let go, to cease, to relax. It shares a root word with rapha, which means to cure and to make whole. So there is this level of connection and intimacy, into me see, that's why I like the word intimacy, and wholeness in our relationships with each other and God that can only happen when we let go of the noise around us, we cease, and we receive wholeness. You following this morning? Be still to know and know that I am God. I've shared this story before, but there was a monk. I was in a course, a pastoring course, and they shared the story of a monk who went to this church, and he was like a big-time monk. I know it sounds weird, but anyway, he was an amazing guy who had given his life to Jesus, like the missionary. And the pastor who hosted him was really proud to have this monk visit. He was like, "This is going to be awesome," right? And so they played the worship songs, and they had multiple services at this church because they were a large church. And so he caught the monk in the hallway in between services, and he was like, "How did you like our church?" Right? He's like, "Let me just get excited here." And the monk said, "You kept singing about the stillness of God, and you never stopped to be still." And the pastor was like, "Oops." So guess what they were doing second and third service, right? They were stopping. And one thing we like to do here is to be still. We don't do it every Sunday, but if you ever notice, we'll have a moment of silence during worship, because if you have a child or you have a job or you have a life, it might be the only moment for the entire week that you're still, right? Which means We need to be still to know God together. Yeah? The enemy is not intimidated by a busy church. He's not intimidated by a busy home or a busy life. And Jesus isn't necessarily going to be magnified by a busy church or a busy home. One more sports event or after school activity or work trip or whatever it is, that's not always the answer, right? One more program. We have to ask the question, what is being built by doing this? If we go back to John chapter 5, the invalid was there by the pool of Some of us slept in a chair this morning since 5 a.m., all right? There you go, the pool. I should have just said fill in the blank. That would have been a good cover, right? He had been there for 38 years. He'd been going. He had been an invalid, right? And the others rushed by him. They were so busy trying to get whole that they didn't notice the one that needed the wholeness. And some of us, when we're busy, we should ask ourselves, are we reflecting the people rushing to the water for a healing, trying to make our life whole, or are we pausing to reflect and be still in God? You following? I've met people who are more still with a full schedule than people with an empty schedule. So this isn't a knockoff if you're like, but I got a busy life. That's great. I prefer to be having a full life. That's my preference. But you can be still with a full schedule, and you can also be busy with a full schedule. Does that make sense? This truth changed our lives when we heard it once from a pastor a long time ago. He said, we have enough time to do everything God is calling us to do. You have enough time this fall to do everything that God is calling you to do. That truth will set you free from busyness and invite you into a stillness in God. But it takes allowing God to set our priorities, to check what we're saying yes to, what we're saying no to. Anybody perfect at that, right? But we have enough time to do everything that God is calling us to do. 38 years, people passed and didn't help the man on the mat. But Jesus was still and made connection with him, and he was healed. Jesus paused in the rush and the busyness of life to give the gift of knowing God to somebody. If anyone had something more important, it would have been God. Think about it. He has the entire universe. He's holding the entire thing together, and there's one person sick for 38 years. You might say, try harder. That'd be real tough religion. Well, he didn't make it, right? But Jesus said, I'm not too busy to be still and hear my Father's voice and then follow. And that's the invitation for our homes this fall. It says, neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Someone needs to be reminded today, you are not busier than King David. He was a literal king. You're not busier than Jesus. He's still praying and prioritizing relationship with you. You are not too busy to be still with God this year in your home, to know him more. It's weird. Have you ever been like, well, I'm too busy? And it's almost like a pride card. I don't know. Does that make sense? I've felt it before where it's like, well, I'm too busy for that. Right? Instead of realizing we need to be still to know God, to know the person in front of us. Have you ever seen a couple dating and no matter how busy they are, they find time to be together, even when they shouldn't, right? You're like, what are you doing? You're going to get an F on that or whatever it is, right? They find time to do that. Why? Because there's a pursuit that is happening in a dating relationship. Hopefully it keeps going, and if it paused, that's all right. God can refresh any relationship. But there is a pursuit, and I want to invite us into a pursuit with God in our homes. To be like a dating couple where it's like, you know what? Everything's happening, but I'm going to pause for just a moment because you're worth it. And we can do that with God in just a moment, or we can do that with each other in our home relationally. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor, right? It's vertical and horizontal. Home life was always meant to be both, right? And again, maybe your home you spend more time at work, maybe you're single, whatever it is, maybe it could be with your coworkers, your friends, whatever this looks like to you. But home life, when it's honoring God, is always meant to be vertical and horizontal. Amen? Incessant busyness will never fully medicate the anxious soul. That's a pastor friend of mine down in New Jersey. So today I want to invite you to lay down the watch of busyness at the cross. Some of us have made it an idol, and some of us are trying to find worth in our busyness. Some of us are escaping into busyness because we're too afraid to be present. And God wants to bring wholeness to your heart. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? It might look like saying yes or no to different things. It also might just look like receiving God into the moment and centering yourself and being still. Your schedule might not change, but your heart attitude might, to be still, to know that He is God. So I want us to think about, what area of your life have you been stuck in busyness? And if you're listening, just hear God say, do you want to thrive in that area instead? I want to do one more watch. It's the watch of balance. Can everyone say balance? I preached a message on rhythms and balance a couple years ago because this changed my life. Again, this was in another course I had taken. And have you ever heard the whole idea that you have to live a balanced life? Anyone tried your entire life until this point to find the balance? It is horrible, right? There is no balance to life. I was going to put that out there, no balance. You're either, like this week, I was trying to be present in the news, and then I was having like a meltdown and drowning in the news. I was like, where's the balance? Am I supposed to know more, to pray? What am I doing, right? Anyone else have that happen this week? Purpose and provision. Well, I find purpose here, but it doesn't pay the bills. So like, how am I supposed to balance, right? How about career and relationships? That's a tough one. How about work, rest, and fun? I'm starting to get hives just thinking about all these things. I'm trying to keep balance, right? How about rest? Anybody find any balance to rest? I'll tell you a secret. There's something in the Bible about it, right? And bank account balance. How many want to talk about that balance? Go to faith and fitness. Finance and fitness. Thank you, Matt. I was like, I can get the right words together. And that's my husband's passion too, right? Bank account balances. But we're all trying to find balance, and the issue is, often the moment we think we found it, a curveball hits. Anybody? You wake up on Monday, or maybe Monday night, and you're like, you know what? Today was the first Monday that went well. We did it. I've heard, my husband has certain ADHD qualities, and I've heard if you're slightly in that direction, that you just repeat systems. Like, oh, this system finally worked. And then on Tuesday, you're like, oh, I got a new system. Let's try it out. If you're in my house, that's our Monday through Friday. And I love how his brain works. It's great. It's adventure. Mine is too, right? We all have different brains. But there's this tendency to try and find systems that work and then hold on to them for dear life. Like, I got to make this all work, right? Because balance means, by definition, to keep or put something in a steady position so that it does not fall. Literally means to try to control everything so it doesn't fall apart. That's what balance means. How many get exhausted by trying to hold everything together so that it doesn't fall apart? And then when it falls apart, you don't have energy to pick it up again, right? Am I just preaching to me? No. But what if I told you God didn't design you to have a balanced life? And in fact, some of us have been stuck in busyness because we're trying to control everything. And so when we try to control everything, it produces busyness and we can't stop because we're always behind. When instead, God designed us to live in rhythms of grace. And this is an entire series in itself. I hope to do a month on it, on the rhythms of grace that God has designed us to have. Once when I was at a worship conference, I heard from the teacher, he said, your worship team is only as good as your drummer. Can we just give it up for our drummers in the house this morning? And if you have ever worked with a drummer that maybe doesn't keep tempo as much, he's right. Your worship team is only as good as the drummer, because you can be playing the best solo over here, but if the drummer is in another time zone, it does not matter, right? The worship team is only as good as the drummers. Thank God for our good drummers in this house. I would play the drums if I could, because it is my favorite instrument, I think. But what if I told you that your life is only as effective as your sense of rhythm? How many have a solo happening over here in this area of your life, and over here it is a drum circle that is off tempo? And you're like, right? And you're trying to be effective, but this is pulling at you, and you're trying to fix this, right? And you know what? That's sometimes life, right? We're never going to have balance. We're never going to be able to control everything. But God wants to teach us how to live to the rhythms of who he is. In fact, he based our entire life off the rhythm of a heartbeat. Off the rhythm of a heartbeat. If there was one person that could have had balance in every area, it's Jesus. But instead, we see his life marked by rhythms of extreme grace, extreme love, extreme sacrifice, extreme healing, extreme power. But we see him living in rhythms of connecting with his disciples. That's why we have small groups. It's not a program. It's actually a way of doing and living like Jesus. Rhythms of reaching the lost, rhythms of spending time with his Father, rhythms of stopping for the one. So no matter what stage of life he's in, you see these rhythms being repeated. The word rhythm means a strong, regular, repeated pattern of sounds, words, or movement. A strong, regular, repeated pattern. Let's go back to our key verse. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You have not received a spirit of fear again. Everyone say again. God wants to interrupt the rhythm of trying to control everything, and he wants to teach us his rhythms of grace and love. Some of us need to be interrupted. There's an incredible author named Jack Frost. He was a sailor, and he's no longer with us, but I studied him years ago, and he does a whole thing on identity. If you are interested in finding out more about identity in Christ, look up Jack Frost. He's an incredible author. But he identified a few areas where we can either think like an orphan or sons and daughters. Because remember, our key verse is you're either going to return to slavery or you can be adopted, right? These are our two options. So in the area of dependency and identity, if we're returning again to self-rejection and comparison, that's trying to control everything, right, over here. But if we let God interrupt our self-rejection and comparison, he invites us into a place where we can receive identity from the Word of God, and we can receive his encouragement and share it with others. You see that? In the area of security and comfort, we can be stuck in agains of counterfeit comfort through escapism, addiction, hyper-religious activity, and we're just stuck in these agains and agains and agains, like the song, but the bad version of the song, right? Again and again and again. And God wants to interrupt and say, I want to teach you the rhythms of being still in my presence. Amen? How about in the need for approval? We can be stuck in the agains of striving for praise, striving for acceptance. And it's again and again and again in our relationships, in our attitude, in our beliefs. And God wants to interrupt those agains, and he wants to invite us into a place of living in rhythms of being accepted in God's love and forgiveness. And lastly, in the area of motivation for life, we can be stuck in the agains of trying to earn attention until we're exhausted. Instead of letting God interrupt and teach us the rhythms of following God from joy and love and relationship. You can live from relationship, not for relationship in God. And in many ways, I feel like this is kind of an introduction message to rhythms. Because rhythms often, when we unpack it a little bit more, look a lot like habits. What are our habits? And at the end of our life, as I said at the beginning, we will be defined by what we did again and again and again. We'll be defined by the little habits that stacked up, whether they're intentional or not. And God wants to invite us to take inventory of the habits of our home. Just think about that. What are the habits of your home? We've had to totally redo our habits as a family when you have a baby. And now we're like, what should the habits be, right? Because otherwise the habit is at 5 a.m., she's crying, and my husband's grumpy because he took his CPAP off to help her, and he's groggy, and I'm like, I can't move my wrist because it hurts. And so we've started a habit of being grumpy at 5 a.m., And that's an again. And if you don't realize it, 5, 10, 38 years can go by. There's no baby anymore, but we still got that habit of grumpy happening again and again and again. You following? Or we can have a habit or a rhythm of, you know what, we're going to set a timer for 1 minute every day together as a family. We're just going to be still before God. It's going to be awkward. No one's going to know what to do, but we're just going to think about God for a minute. Maybe we're going to talk to him silently. We're just going to pause and be still to know God. Maybe a habit looks like this is something, as I'm just closing here, as I know it's 11:30. It's called a relational bid. It's a small moment of connection to invest in each other's lives. My husband found out about this, and it really changed our marriage. So there was this doctor, a Jewish doctor, that found out with over 90% accuracy whether a relationship would work by examining how well they could pause and respond to one another's bids for connection. Bids can look like sending a fun text, complimenting someone, being kind, being funny, just sharing just a split-second moment of connection with no other purpose, no agenda other than to connect. And relationships that lose that ability to bid often fail. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, his entire life was a bid of love. Think about it. He shared one small moment in eternity with us on earth, and he's coming back to spend the rest of it with us, right? You see his life, breakfast at the lake. He didn't have to have breakfast at the lake with his disciples. He chose to. Walking town to town. He could have just like appeared like after the resurrection. But instead we read, and then Jesus walked with his disciples. And he didn't have to walk, right? He could have invented a car. There's so many options, right? But he chose to walk. He chose to share small moments of connection with his disciples. And that's what he invites us to do as well. So why don't you just stand on your feet? Back to John chapter 5. Jesus stepped in and interrupted what had been on repeat. And instead of a man returning to the slavery of fear and sickness for the 39th year, in that moment, Jesus said, I adopt you. You can call out Abba, Father, instead of help me get into this pool. And some of us have been crying out again and again, help me, help me. And you feel like everyone has passed you by in your life. And Jesus wants to adopt you right now into his family. You don't have to live as an orphan stuck in trying to earn all these things. You can have God interrupt your agains and become a child of God and live in the rhythms and the repeated patterns of on earth as it is in heaven. So I just want to invite us to be still for just one moment. The lie we believe often is that whatever else we are doing is so important that it can't be interrupted for connection. When instead we realize that Jesus came to show us that connection and stillness is more important than anything else. So I just want to invite us to think, where have we been stuck in and again in our home life? Again, maybe that's with coworkers, maybe that's with a spouse or a child or a friend. Where have you been stuck in and again? God wants to interrupt that right now, and he wants to bring wholeness, and he's asking, do you want to thrive there? Do you want to thrive where you have been stuck in the agains of your life? And he's reaching down and he's saying, stand up and walk, pick up your mat and go. Jesus, we just invite you. As I say these, I want to invite you to open up your hands to receive. And if one of them stands out to you, just receive it. Jesus, we invite you right now to interrupt our agains of self-rejection and comparison. We invite you to interrupt our agains of counterfeit comfort through addiction and escapism. We invite you to interrupt are striving for praise and approval and acceptance. And we invite you to interrupt our earning God's favor and attention till we're exhausted. And right now we receive a spirit of adoption so we can call out, Abba, Father. We receive identity from you. We receive the rhythm of being still in your presence. We receive living from relationship with you, God, not for it. We receive your joy and your love, and we receive your sacrifice, Jesus, and your resurrection power. God, we are so sorry when we've gotten so caught up with wearing the watch of busyness and the watch of balance, where we're trying to control everything and we're prideful and we're saying, I don't have time for you, whether it's to someone we love on earth or someone we love like you, Jesus. We repent and we say, we are so sorry. Teach us how to stop for the one in front of us, vertical and horizontal with you, God. Teach us how to share a bid, just a moment of time, because we know there is healing and wholeness on the other side. We know there are areas to you, God, that we cannot know unless we are be still to know that, God, there are depths of who you are, Jesus, that we are missing in our lives and in our homes because we never stop to just gaze and turn our eyes to Jesus. So I want to invite us as I close out here to take your again, whatever it was, and we're going to sing Turn Your Eyes to Jesus. I don't have the words, and I didn't sleep much, so I don't know if I'm going to remember them, but we're just going to sing it out a cappella. But before we do that, I want to dare you this week, because this is a very practical month. I want to dare you to share a relational bid with someone every day this week. It might look like sending an encouragement to somebody. It might look like just pausing at the checkout line and just looking at someone in the eye instead of looking at your phone while you're running through. But to stop for the one, maybe it looks like praying for somebody. If you're married, do it with your spouse. If you've got kids, do it with them. Pause, be still to know them better, and be still to know God better every day as well. Let's go vertical, let's go horizontal. Check what's on repeat. Let Jesus interrupt your agains.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.